Welcome to another inspirational podcast at Real Life Church. For more great content and updates, visit reallifechurchkc.com.
Good morning, Real Life. We are so excited, and as we are kicking off this Christmas Advent season, we're going to start with worshiping with some Christmas songs. So whether you're here with us in person at KT or joining us online, hop on your feet. We are going to sing praises this morning to our God, who miraculously was born of Mary and came to earth for us. So let's lift him up this morning.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Oh, let heaven and nature
this morning. Yes, one of my favorite things to do during the Christmas season is just to reflect and worship the King of Kings who died to save us, and we're going to do that together.
Healing now, light in the darkness, healing now, hope for the hope in Emmanuel. Healing
Us, it's amazing. In this time of year, we remember that he didn't just come then, but he came for us now. And so let's lift up as faithful worshipers this morning and celebrate.
Glory to God. Amen, amen. Let's give it up to our everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty Counselor. What a great God we have, and what a faithful God we have. That is my favorite Christmas carol, and I'm just so glad that we get to sing it here as we enter into this Christmas season. It is so good to see you guys. Guys, give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a big hand here at Real Life Church, Kentucky Trail Elementary. I know we have been dealing in a season right now of sickness and travel and just all sorts of distractions. So the fact that you guys are all here worshiping with us this morning is wonderful to see you all. And before I get ahead of myself, I do want to make sure we welcome one other group that's joining us completely online this morning. You know, maybe at home worshiping because of illness or because of travel. Let's turn back to our cameras, give our Real Life Church Online a big welcome here worshiping with us online. And give yourselves a wave, a fist bump to a neighbor. Go ahead and say hi to someone before you have a seat. All right. And if you are new in the house today here at Kentucky Trail Elementary, first off, great to meet you. I'm Brandon. I would love to connect more out in the hub after the gathering this morning. But we are just so glad that you're here joining us at Kentucky Trail or joining us online. If you're joining us it's completely digitally this morning, it is so great to have you. And if you are new, I do have a couple next steps for you. If you're in person here at Kentucky Trail, go ahead and scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you. What it'll do is it'll take you to a digital link where you can fill out a connection card. Just something that we can get to know you a little bit more and learn a little bit more about your story. If you're joining us online, there should be a link in the chat that you can use, or you can text RLNEW to 97000 to get to that digital communication card. And if you are joining us in person, we would also welcome you to the New Here booth right after the gathering, where we can learn a little bit more about your story, maybe why you chose to join us here this Sunday morning. And we do have a small gift for you for being here. So thank you again. And we are a church on mission here at Real Life, a mission to see people far from God discover their real life and purpose in Jesus, hence the name, Real Life Church. And we've been learning a lot about what that mission looks like and how we can be on mission as Christians here at Real Life Church. And we've been in a series where we've been talking about this, you know, this thing that drives us forward, drives our mission forward as a church under Jesus. And, you know, this thing, it's not just a one-time thing. You know, this isn't something that we just do and then it's done. No, this is something we do our entire lives. We do it until kingdom come or until he returns. And that is just something that we have really been harnessing these past 3 weeks. And so that thing is generosity, and Pastor Sean's gonna give us a great word on that today. So let's give it up for Pastor Sean.
We give it up for the man, Brandon, over here. Come on. He's learned the ropes and he's doing well. So I'm excited for you guys. Anyone feeling blessed today? Maybe look at, wow, over here especially. I like that. You look at your family, maybe your marriage, your kids, or maybe what you drove here. Maybe feel like a blessing or not. I don't know. Duct taping Jesus, right? Maybe your house this season and the Christmas is going and just feeling blessed. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do really in this season. And I will say, no one's ever said, man, I can't use no blessing. There's too many in my life just to hold on that one, you know. No one's ever made that comment. They always need some more blessings, and would love to add another seat to the table or some more money, another zero, another comma. Come on, somebody, right? But nobody asked for the bland life, amen? Nobody said, man, I want the mediocre life. No one said I want the stairs to fall off the stage. Come on. You should be praying for the stage, by the way. Just I set it up, so I know. It's duct taping Jesus right here, right? But man, nobody said I want the mediocre life. No one said I want the normal life. Man, people want the blessed life. You want the best life, right? And the good news is Jesus didn't come to give us the normal, mediocre, standby, stale, you know, chicken nugget shaped and dinosaurs, come on somebody kind of life, amen? He didn't give us the ramen noodle life, although ramen noodles are, they're still kind of good. Come on somebody. You know you like the ramen noodle every now and then. So John 10:10 says this, so what Jesus said. He said, the thieves come only steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you have life and have it to the full. That Jesus really came to give us the abundant life, not the get-by life or the barely survive the season type of life, but the joy-filled life. Today is the third and final part of our series on generosity, and really, I believe this is one of those trajectory-changing kind of messages. It's one of those ones you kind of put a stake in your ground and it changes the course of your lifetime on earth. It changes the direction and destiny of the legacy you leave for your kids, for your family, and really for the future of the kingdom. And here's what we know so far out of this series is that God is not after your money, amen? God is after your heart. He's after something so much more significant. He wants to see who you are on the inside. Do you worship him? Do you believe in him? And God's called us to be a level 4 type of generosity, to raise up to that point where you say, what mine is no longer mine is God's, and I simply manage the things of God in my life. And today I'm excited for this final part, and really this is something near and dear to my heart. This is something I deeply believe in. I really want you guys to get this today, but really to discover the joy, the deep, gratifying joy of giving. What it is to give back and to feel the blessing of God. Matter of fact, says this in Acts 20, verse 35. Luke says this. He says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said." And he quotes Jesus. And you don't find Jesus saying this, like quoted in the Gospels, but Luke was with him, had conversations, and he remembers what Jesus said. He remembers what he taught him. And he says what Jesus says, remember his words. It's more blessed to what? Help me out. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. Matter of fact, it is a blessing to receive, amen? It's a blessing to have what we have and to get a hand up and to have a full stomach and a roof over our heads and to have a family that God has given us, but it's more blessed to give back. It's more blessed to have a deep joy of returning, to give to someone else, to give a hand up. It's more blessed to serve. It's more blessed to be irrationally generous. And that's my heart for today, is the prayer that you would leave here with really a deep passion, not to hold on, but to give and have the deep joy of knowing what it is to give. If you think about this verse, if you apply it in today's terms, it would say this: it's blessed to receive $100,000, but it's more blessed to give. You think about really not the end of the year, but the beginning of the year, you get your W-2s and all your tax statements, and for most of us, you get that giving statement, and you see the numbers, and I always often look back at in January or in February, and I'm like, man, where'd all the money go, you know? Because you see the W-2, and you're like, wow, that's money, but where'd it go? And I always see those donor statements from all the things we give to, and I'll tell you what, my heart is full of joy, amen? I mean, there's nothing more exciting to see what God has done through your money. And you see those statements, you're like, man, I don't miss giving that. Matter of fact, I wish I could give more and play a part of the story. What this verse is saying is it's blessed to walk into the Hope Center and maybe receive or see it for the first time. But it's more blessed if you planted some seed, amen? When you walk to the Hope Center and you serve there, maybe you shed some blood there. Come on, somebody. I don't know if you've been out there or worked on any kind of labor stuff, but, you know, I about every other... Wow, the stage is going down, guys. He gone! You know that joke about preachers having a trap door? I'm pretty sure somebody installed one on this stage, right? I'm watching the clock today. I don't trust you guys. But the reality is, if you've served the Hope Center, it's going to mean something to you. And if you sowed some seeds in the Hope Center, some of you guys are sacrificially gave that, you can walk in, man, I'll play a part of the story. And it's more blessed to have that part of the equation than just to show up. It's totally different when you walk in the door. You know, it's blessed to be maybe in Alcoholics Anonymous, be in AA, but it's more blessed to be a sponsor, amen? It's more blessed to give back and play a part of the story. Here at Real Life, it's blessed to receive from Real Life. It's blessed to get fed from Real Life. It's blessed to grow at Real Life. Blessed to get connected at Real Life. But it is far more blessed to give. It's far more blessed to serve and to lead and play a part of the mission and be like, I played a part of we. I didn't just show up. I was a part of what God was doing. Amen? It's a blessing. So I'm going to look at the story, and it's a really infamous story, and you may have heard of it. If you haven't, you're going to learn it today, but it's really a story of these 10 lepers that are blessed by God, and really a story of giving and receiving and returning. Luke 17 says this. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him." This leprosy is this really degenerative bacteria that just takes over your nervous system and you can't feel. Your body kind of goes numb and you lose feeling, and especially your extremities get beat up because you don't know you're hitting them things, and your fingers curl over and you got lesions and sores. And in that culture, obviously, didn't have a way to treat this. And so their idea was basically to isolate these people from society, put them in the shadows, and if they're going to run into somebody, they'd scream out, "Unclean!" Just know they were there. And that was the reality. You had to claim the fact that you were a leper. And so you were ostracized, and every part of you was full of shame, and you were just left really to yourself. And so these 10 lepers, they met Jesus, and it says in verse 10, or it says in verse 12, it says they stood at a distance. They were doing what lepers did. That was part of their culture, to really be in the shadows and stay away from people. And they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They begin to beg Jesus to receive healing, to receive a blessing, to have their life back to normal. They're begging for mercy from God. And when Jesus saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, along the way, they were cleansed. Their faith that they were just going to go to the priest because Jesus said so, and they were cleansed, they were made whole on the journey. Now, here's what you got to know about the story. All 10 were healed. All 10 of them were cleansed from their leprosy. All 10 of them had their fingers regrow and their fingers stretch out to being normal and all their lesions healed up. Every single one of them had that moment, all that shame lifted, that they could be a normal part of society once more. They're all very blessed by God. Verse 15, only one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, the least likely person of all people healed in the story to come back to Jesus. And Jesus, he sees this man worshiping at his feet, and the first response Jesus has is not the response you probably think. Jesus' response is really a frustration. Jesus, matter of fact, he says four statements to this one leper, and three of them are really out of frustration, not the leper, but the other nine. And he asks these questions. There's three questions Jesus asked. He looked at this one leper worshiping at his feet, and he said, were not all 10 cleansed? Like, did the other nine receive healing? Like, did their fingers come back and they were made whole? Did that happen? Where are the other nine? Where'd they go? What could they possibly be more important than coming back? I blessed them, I healed them, I gave to them. Has no one returned to what? Help me out. To give praise to God except this foreigner? Of all people, where are my own people that know me and should know me? Where are they? And then he finally looks at the leper and says to him personally, rise and go, your faith has made you well. The reality is this, it's blessed to receive, but it's more blessed to return to God. Amen? It's more blessed to say, God, thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for changing my life. You think about those sentences that Jesus said, 3/4 of them, 75% of them were out of frustration of their nine. Because the reality is this, Jesus expected all 10 to come back, didn't he? He was looking for them, especially his own people. Actually, do the math on this, Jesus lost out on 90% of the praise and worship he deserved. He was looking for that because there's a joy in the heart of God when you go back to Jesus and say, thank you for what you've done. Can you imagine this leper just laying on the ground saying, thank you for making me whole. Thank you, I can go on a date. Come on, somebody. Thank you, I can see my family. I'm not ostracized in the shadows and the corners. There was nothing left for this man to do but to return to Jesus. Amen? And so at the heart of God, there's a joy that is there, but also there's a frustration in the heart of God for those who didn't come. So once you look at this one leper, like, why did this one leper return? Like, what was it that motivated his ability really to go back to Jesus and have a heart of gratitude and give thanks? And you see this in verse 15, it says this, one of them, when he what? He saw. When he opened his eyes and he saw that he was healed. When he saw that he was made whole, he recognized he had been blessed by God. God had done something in his life that he could never do on his own, that he could never do in 1,000 lifetimes. He could never cure himself of leprosy. He recognized that he was willfully inadequate to receive the blessing, but God had healed him and made him whole and given him a gift, and God worked in his life. He had no response but to what? Come back to Jesus, to give credit to God, to praise God with a loud voice. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus, and he gave praise and thanked him. Think about this. When he saw he was healed, his view of God's blessings determined the level of his joy. Amen? He recognized that he didn't own anything, that God had done the work on his own. There's no way he could have done it, that his hands were healed, his sores were gone, that his life of shame, his life of isolation, his back to normal. He was made whole. He had no choice but to turn to Jesus. And here's the reality. Jesus was expecting him. He was expecting him. Matter of fact, he was expecting all of them, wasn't he? He was looking for all 10 to come back, to praise him, to throw themselves at their feet, to give thanks to Jesus. So my question this morning is, what level of joy do you have for the things that God has done in your life? Like, where's your joy level, right? Deck the halls, right? I mean, you remember this season, everybody gets excited, but you look at Jesus, you're like, oh, man, thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven, amen? that I'm made whole, that I'm a chosen son or daughter of the King. I'm not going to live in shame anymore. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not destined to be what somebody told me I was going to be. I'm not destined to be what somebody spoke over me or just because it's my last name or where I grew up. I am a chosen son or daughter of the King. I'm forgiven. I'm made whole. I'm set free. Amen. And so our joy level is full. And the reality is for all of us, you have a choice, but you really don't have a choice to return to Jesus. Amen. Because one day, regardless of what you do here, you will see Jesus. And Jesus is expecting us to return, to throw down ourselves in front of him and say, thank you, Jesus, for doing what I could never have done on my own. You've saved me from my sin. You've made my life whole. You've given me purpose. You put me on mission. I owe you everything. Thank you so much. In the midst of this, Jesus is looking around going, where is everybody else, right? Because that's the frustration of God. But the reality is this, your gratitude guides your giving. How grateful you are for what God has done in your life will guide your generosity. These nine lepers, they had a little amount of gratitude. At best, they gave to God last. See, the story doesn't go on long enough to know if they ever really came back to Jesus. Maybe they're planning on it later that afternoon. Maybe it was 2 months. Most likely, they probably didn't. They probably forgot about it. They had something greater that they needed to go to. And certainly, they didn't thank God first. See, the reality is this, they didn't value the gift giver as much as the gift. They didn't find the value in Jesus. But one leper, and I love this, he had a large amount of gratitude. He gave to God first. He bowed down, he surrendered, he offered himself, he praised God. And I think about this moment is it's probably one of the greatest moments of the opening scene of heaven, where you show up and you throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and you lay everything down and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And if we could just like fast forward that moment, maybe 30 years or 50 years or 70 years pre-heaven, and just get in that mindset, oh, how to change the things on earth, amen? Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Here's the reality, we're all truly blessed. We're all very blessed, very, very blessed. You told me earlier yourself we're blessed, amen? You guys are hooping and hollering, it's like a race south graduation. Come on, somebody. We go back, holler, come on, somebody. 2003, I'm gonna date myself. That's not that. I'm like middle-aged. I'm not old. I don't offend old people because I'm too young, but I'm not young. I don't offend young people, so I'm just middle-aged. Come on, right? Beginning to bald. I'm shedding. Come on, somebody. I'm in that season of shed. Some of you shed it early. It's okay. But here's the reality. Just from a financial perspective, all of us are very blessed. Think about this. Just from a financial perspective. Now, let's just get this set in. 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. You just got to think about that for a little bit. $10 a day. You're talking $3,700 a year. Dude, we were very wealthy compared to 80% of the world. Now, 50% of the world lives on $3 a day. $3. Dude, $1,100 a year. Can you imagine working as hard as you work for $1,100 a year? Can you put that in your wildest dream? And 50% of the world lives on that. And I started thinking about the mission of God. And I started thinking about, like, who is God calling to move the mission forward, to fund the mission, to be generous with the mission? Surely it's the people that have the means by which to move the mission forward. Amen? They have the ability to. Because there's something that goes on in the hearts of most people. They don't think they're wealthy. Like, they don't have enough. And I just want to tell you today, it's good enough. Amen? It's good enough. There is enough. Matter of fact, it doesn't really matter how much you have. Even the people who have nothing, the 50% of the world, return to God. Amen? That's what they do. They worship Jesus. Think about this. If you make more than $32,500 a year, you're wealthier than 95% of the world. Isn't that crazy? Did you guys realize you're in the top 5% of the world? Did you guys realize that? Dude, and your father-in-law said you wouldn't make it. Come on, somebody. Come on. Right? But when you look at perspective, because we're so busy comparing ourselves to this unrealistic standard of Facebook and Amazon and commercials and the Joneses and the nice car and the luxury and the upgrades, da 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 da, and we forget that we are very, 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 very blessed. Amen? Very blessed. We have the means, but we don't have the plan. But we have the means. But the question is this. Not are you blessed, but do you want to be more blessed? Like, do you want to have the joy-filled life that God has called us to live? Because I'm going to tell you something. This road we're on is kind of a dead-end road, isn't it? Bills, stack up, spend, fear, scarcity, worry, debt, scarcity, fear. It just goes in a circle, right? And at some level, it's like, okay, faith, boom, and we break the cycle. Think about this. Do you want more blessed? Do you want to return back to God? See, 9 out of 10 lepers, they were cool with receiving, but they were not cool returning. Think about this. 9.5 Christians out of 10 are cool receiving, but not returning. I didn't make this stat up. This is crazy. 95% of Christians don't give anything. You didn't come to church to hear this today, but this is what I'm saying. Isn't that crazy? Dude, my mind is numb right now. I was trying to think of a way to spin that stat to do something with it, but I couldn't come up with anything. Because it's just mind-numbing to me that 95% of people are okay keeping the blessing of God but not returning. Only 5% give. And if you boil it all down at the end of the day, this is crazy. Only 1% of Christians give more than 2% of their income. 1% of Christians give more than 2% of their income. And I don't put a percentage on it, but the reality, that's really small. Now, Christians do a lot of good. They gave $300 billion last year for the kingdom. Okay, so that's incredible. But that's like 1%. Come on, somebody. 1% of Christians are pushing the mission forward. And I can't just help to think, like, what if happened if more people got behind the mission of God and had the gratitude of God? You think about 99% of Christians are okay receiving and being blessed and keeping and hold on to and being worried about the future, and they're really robbing themselves, robbing others, and ultimately robbing God of the joy of giving. That's mind-numbing to me. That we, for God, maybe what it is to be an abundant giver. And so today I want to encourage you, how do we become the 1%? Amen? How do we become an abundant giver? How do you be the one that returns? How do you break the cycle when 99 people are going right and you're going left? Or 9 people who receive the blessing of God and you're going, well, I'm going to return to Jesus. How do you become that one person? I want to encourage you how to do this, and it's going to take some effort. Some of this is going to be pretty straightforward. Some of it's going to take some work. But the first thing is this, and I think to think about how to become an abundant giver, there's really 3 ways to do it. Number one is be spontaneous with your giving. Be spontaneous. This is what happened to Jesus. He was walking into a city right there by the edge of Samaria, and these 10 lepers are standing at a distance shouting, Jesus, heal us! And Jesus was interrupted. And spontaneously, Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to bless them. He said, go show yourself to the priest to be healed. And they were healed. Jesus saw a need. He saw a moment where somebody needed help. He realized he can make a difference. He was excited to help. And so he gave. And for all of us, this is really the most common way most of us give. There's a tornado, a natural disaster. There's the GoFundMe. You get online. There's a car broken down the side of the road. You realize, I was at Casey's the other day, and some lady was just having a really hard time paying for her breakfast and couldn't get anything working. So I was like, hey, I'll take care of your breakfast, you know? Like, just be spontaneous. And be able to bless somebody, right? And this is the story of the Good Samaritan last week. This Good Samaritan was just happened chance went down the road, and this guy was left for dead, and he blessed him, amen? And he looked at him and said, I'm going to spontaneously, wasn't planned, I'm going to bless your life. And he realized it wasn't just an opportunity, but it was a God moment, amen? It was a divine appointment that God put that man on the road, the Good Samaritan, to bless the other person. And so we give spontaneously. And so we look at our stuff, and we realize it's not ours, and you look out and you say, okay, God, what am I going to do? And you see a moment, you see the Holy Spirit anoint you, you get kind of in a situation, you think, man, I can make a difference. God put me here on purpose, and God can use you. But I would encourage you, because a lot of people stop at this level, to not stop just with spontaneous giving. It is so easy to say, okay, I'm spontaneous, I follow God's leading this, but it's hard, the next level, this is a little harder. The second level is this, be strategic in your giving. Be strategic. Now, some of you guys, the bucket's passed, we're doing this a kingdom come giving, and you feel like, man, I want to do more. And there's so many people I hear all the time, if I won the lottery, Pastor, come on somebody, right? Can I encourage you today, you don't have to win the lottery to give, amen? I know it'd be awesome, okay? But you don't have to. But when the bucket's passed, you're like, I want to do more. And I want to tell you, you can if you plan for it. Amen? You may not be able to do all you want to do in this season or in this moment. You feel like, man, I really want to, but I'm in this weird spot. But if you plan for it, if you're strategic with your money. See, as Jesus follows, we are strategic givers. See, here's the reality. It's like that one leper we give to God first. Amen? He returned to God. You have Cain and Abel, and Abel returned to God, and he gave to God. Giving is not a New Testament principle. It is a God principle, amen? It's been there since the beginning that we give God our first fruits. God has blessed it. If you owned a field and you grew your crop, you would take the first of your fruits, you'd take the best of your animals, and you'd bring them to God and say, here you go, these are yours, not knowing that the rest would even grow, amen? And you would give God your first. And so we give to God first. That's the first thing about being strategic. You say, off the top, I'm going to give to God first. And we plan on putting God in every area of our life first, not just financially, amen? We put them every area of our life. It's just part of worship. It's part of following God. But we have a strategic, prayerful plan to put God first. It's not an accident we put God first. Matter of fact, I would encourage you to put God first and then pay yourself second. Come on, somebody. It's called savings. It's called investment. Come on. And then live off the other, what would it be, 25 or 30%, right? Like long-term, short-term, give to God. Live off the middle and then have a fun on the drip. Come on, somebody, right? Don't try to save off the drip. Amen? Some of you are like, doggone, I did this backwards. I got the upside down funnel. All these years, I've been trying, right? And a lot of it just comes down to saying no to a lot of upgrades. It just all, because we all have a plan for our money. Matter of fact, Isaiah 32 says this about strategy. It says, "Be generous, but generous people do what?" Help me out. Generous people plan. You know you're going to get a financial planning message today, did you? Right? But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. And here's the reality. We all really have a plan for our money. And for most people, let's be real, it's to spend it. Come on, somebody, right? Like we have a plan. Like the iPhone 14 is coming out in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it costs $15 million. I'm going to get this upgrade. I want a great upgrade, but I'm going to get this upgrade, right? And then we look out and we see that nice new 4K and it's just got a curve on it. You're like, oh, yeah, baby, that's what I need in my front living room. And I got a plan for that. Put on layaway in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got my Oakleys in Jesus' name, right? Got my GMC 3500, single axle, or not dually, right? I mean, I guess upgrade, you lift, in Jesus' name, praise God, hallelujah, amen, I'm going to debt, I'm going to pay $5 million a month on that, amen, right? I mean, being sarcastic, obviously, right? But it's the truth, because when we look ahead, we're always thinking spend. That's our plan. But the reality is we've got to start thinking give, save, spend a little, give, like modest, like the middle. And when you look at your life compared to what everybody else has, we are super blessed. Like we don't need to have the next upgrades. We don't have to have all the nicest things. We don't have to have the biggest house or the coolest car. I mean, you just gotta get in the middle, right? I mean, it's excellence without extravagance. Come on, somebody, right? It's Target. It's not Walmart. It's not, you know, I don't know anything nice, so that's what it is, right? Come on, somebody, right? Look at me, you know? You know, Diane's preaching. She's over there telling me something, right? But we also have a plan. We have a plan to set out to consume. But here's the reality. As Jesus follows, we are not spiritual consumers, amen? We are spiritual contributors to the things of God. If the mission doesn't move forward through us, who is it going to move forward through? I mean, look at the percentages, right? Am I going to look at the 80% or the 50% and say, well, come on, guys, let's get the mission going here, right? The mission of God is going to move through us, amen? See, the world, reality is this, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world around us, amen? We serve on mission, and we fund that mission. And we grossly fund that mission to do incredible things for God because there's so much ahead of us. But what if we plan to make a bigger difference in the world through giving? Like, think about this. What if you increased your giving by 1%? What if you made it 1%? What if you moved out spontaneous to say, okay, next year I'm just going to give 1%? I'm thinking 2023, I'm laying out, I know what I made, I got my W-2, nothing's really changing, maybe it's crazy, but I'm figuring out, I'm going to do the 1%, right? And that would be, if you gave 2%, you'd be in the top 1%. Amen? I mean, think about that. That's crazy. You could be in the top 1% of donors just by giving 2% of your money next year. But this, I mean, to be honest with you, this is kind of sad in general. But we are grateful, amen, for using it. But it's just crazy to think that it's like, wow, that's not that hard to do. But what if you increase your percentage 1% every year? If you have 4%, maybe you go to 5. If you go 10, you go 11. Whatever it is, you move up. You're strategic about your money. Now, Di and I are really strategic about our money. We give to God first, amen? That's been on our hearts. I mean, that's just what we've done for forever. And we give a percentage of our income. Off the top, we give it straight to God. It's ACH, it just goes, amen? Praise God, hallelujah, don't think about it, it's there. And we always try to increase our percentage every year. That's our goal. And it's by God's grace. Because not every season do we have the extra means or the wherewithal. But there are seasons where we do. Last year was one of those seasons. We upped it, you know. We at the beginning of the year, we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And we laid out that strategy. And we do set aside money for spontaneous giving. It seems to get a lot bigger than we set aside. Come on, somebody. Just kind of grows because it's like, man, we see opportunity. We know God can use it. But most of our gifts are prayed for in advance. Amen? They're very strategic. It's not an accident of how we got here. And we leverage it for the biggest impact. We have a giving plan. We set out every single year. Who are we giving to? Who are the ministries we support? How much are we going to give? What percentage? And we lay that, and we give that first before we get to the end of the month. Amen? Y'all know ain't even nothing left in the month. Come on, somebody. Because we want to spend it. And so the reality is you can have the playmate at the end of the month. We give to God first. We reoccur, like I said, through ACH. And here's the reality. We choose to put you guys first. Amen? Amen? I mean, literally, like, hey, with this on our heart, like, the first thing that comes out, boom, we're giving to Real Life. And that's just a part of who we are. So when I ask you to be part of generosity, I'm going to ask you to do something that we're not leading the way on already. This is a part of who we are. It's not an accident. It's intentional. And we choose to give to God. Generous people have a plan to give, and you stand firm in that because there's seasons where it's like, oh man, that's going to be expensive. I didn't plan for that. Oh, that's going to be crazy. And you know what? We've never had to go back and say, hey, we're going to cut that back. It hasn't happened in that season. God's grace, we've never had to say, hey, it's been a tough year. Didn't work out. The truck broke down 15 times. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. They got to get that fixed. God has always provided. Amen. It's just been my experience. And I believe that the Christians really don't starve to death, right? Like we put God first and God honors and blesses it. So one's give spontaneously. Just see a need and meet the need, but don't stop with that. Give strategically. And the last thing I'll say is give sacrificially. There's a point in your life where you move past giving out of your excess and you give out of what you can afford and you give out of your need. There's a season in your life where you give where it's sacrificial. And there's so many times in the Bible you see this, and it's one of them is found in Mark chapter 12. And this is where Jesus, it says this, he sat down opposite the places the offerings were being put in, and he watched the crowd, this is incredible, putting their money into the temple treasury. Can you imagine somebody watching you putting your money in, the treasury or the bucket or the giving box and just staring at you? It's kind of creepy, isn't it? Jesus is creeping on people. He's watching. He's got an eye out. He's wondering what's going on. And Jesus knows this. He knows that what people are giving is tied directly to their heart. He actually knows what percentage, he knows why, he knows all the things about it, and he's watching it. And I'm sure he's got a lot of joy, and I'm sure he's got frustration. And he's watching this box. He says this, many rich people threw in large amounts of money, but it didn't mean they're generous. Just means they gave maybe out of their excess. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And calling his disciples to him, he's going to teach him a lesson. He said, truly I tell you, this poor widow, living off the table scraps of other people who doesn't have any means. In the majority of the world, 50% of the world, she is less than the 50% of the world. She's the dollar a day or less type of person, has put more into this treasury than any other person. This 1 cent was the most powerful cent given in the treasury. And they all gave out of their wealth, out of their excess, but she gave out of her poverty. She gave out of her need. She gave out of she wouldn't be able to live without this money. She put everything in, all she had to live on. Sacrificial giving. Now, what's interesting about this is one that Jesus watched. Come on. It's just weird that Jesus was creeping on him, right? But the second thing is this, is that Jesus actually allowed her to put it in. Because if I was working in the temple that day as a pastor or a priest and I was staying there, I'd say, no. No, we got this. We're here for you. Amen. We're to serve you. Like, you need to get food. We're going to provide for you. We're not going to let you do that. Like, there's no way. Why put yourself in that financial situation? Like, you don't have anything. It's just one penny. Hold on to it. We'll take care of the rest. Whatever you need, put on my card. We'd fight for that. But Jesus does something very interesting. He doesn't rob her of a blessing. He doesn't rob her of the worship that she is giving Jesus. Amen? He's like, come on. And there's so many times in the New Testament where you see Jesus, he looks at somebody who's wealthy and rich and says, hey, sell you have and give to the poor. There's so many times he calls out people to lay it all on the line. And I'm telling you, I've yet to find a story where somebody says, okay, let's do it outside the person that buys the field. You don't see this. But Jesus is saying, where's your heart? Because he can give you the money. He can bless you. But he celebrated her sacrificial gift. She gave more than anybody else. And here's the reality. When's the last time that we laid on the line for Jesus? Have you guys had those moments in your life where like you felt that deep joy of like, dude, I made a difference. Like I played a part of the story. And the reality is this. I think a lot of us, we hold back because there's this fear involved. Like I'm not going to be able to afford my bills. Or I can't afford the payment. I want to have a meal on the table. And I start thinking about this parable or the story. Do you think this widow starved to death? Do you think she starved to death? But here's the reality. She, for maybe the first time in her life, ate from God's hand. For the first time in her life, she said, I have nothing. You have it all. I trust you. What are you going to do? And there are seasons in our life where we lay down and we say, okay, if this is going to go forward, then I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to trust God. He's going to provide. I'm going to eat out of his hand for maybe the very first time. So we're all called in seasons to lay it on the line. And you should have one of those seasons. If you have one of those seasons, I want to encourage you. And, you know, oftentimes we think about giving, we think income, you know, what I earn, we give. But you got to think outside the box sometimes, right? Oftentimes we come into money different ways. I had an opportunity, we had a duplex, and owner-occupied this thing. Come on, that's fun, isn't it, right? You own it, and you get to listen to the neighbors. That's fun, you know? And then I bought a house. We had teenage foster daughters, and my 900-square-foot place wasn't going to cut it. And so I moved the house and kept the duplex. It's fun being a landlord. Come on, somebody. Praise God, hallelujah. That's lots of fun. But God put my heart, when we launched the church, that I was going to sell it. And I sold the thing, and I took all of the income. Come on, after capital gains, paid that way too early in my life, right? Come on, right? And I donated it here at Real Life to get our church off the ground, amen? Just sacrificial giving, just a play a part of the story. Or maybe you leverage a vehicle, or you leverage something you come into. You can't just think linear. And sometimes you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I can't afford the next thing. I know it's not going to make sense rationally, but I'm going to trust you in the season. There's a lot of wisdom in this. So I'm not saying just, you know, write the check today and give it all over, but follow God leading with it. And there's seasons where you see the vision and you see the need, and you say, okay, I can play a part of that story. And I've got many pastors and friends who've had people give hundreds of thousands of dollars who really came into something and said, okay, I'm going to get this thing off the ground, and God is going to use it. The least likely person in the room, amen? If y'all waiting for the wealthy person to say it's going to lead the way, I mean, maybe that's what it is, but the reality, it takes all of us, amen, to play a part of the story. But when's the last time you see the blessing of giving sacrificially, the blessing of helping somebody out, the blessing of making a difference? The joy, the freedom, the anointing of God, the freedom of saying, okay, I'm not a slave to all the lenders and slave to all the things, but God, I'm trusting you. And some of you guys, maybe you're going to do that to some extent in this season with this Until Kingdom Come giving. You're like, man, I wasn't planning on that, but God, you're going to use that. And I guarantee you look at your stuff next year and you go, man, I'm so thankful I played a part of the story. I'm so thankful I played a part of the story of the Hope Center. Come on, somebody. I'm thankful I played a story of transformation and people coming to Christ. Because the reality is this is what we do as Christians. We give spontaneously, we give strategically, and oftentimes we give sacrificially, giving up what we love so other people can know that they are loved, amen? So you can know the love of Jesus, that's why we give. But I'll be really clear and super sincere on this. Obviously, I want you to be radically generous. You guys are picking up what I'm putting down. You know, I want you to play a part of the story. I want you to play a part of the mission of God. But if you don't believe in the direction or the mission or the integrity of our church, please do not give, but I will encourage you to give to another church. Amen? Like, if you can't write the check here, write it somewhere for the kingdom, because this is way bigger than Real Life. Amen? And it's going to take a kingdom until kingdom comes. And we're trying to reach where God's calling us to go, but there's a world full of people who need Jesus, and the church is the method and the means by which God's going to use. So if you can't get behind it here, get behind it somewhere. Amen? But if you can, I would encourage you to give. Be a part of the story to impact the world. Today I told you what we do. Let me tell you what we don't do. Number one is we don't pass the buckets twice. Amen? There's not enough money coming in. Put them out again. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be like worship twice. We'll do the beginning, right? That'd be so weird, right? We've never done that. 5 years, never said, hey, put it out twice. We've never collected a special offering. In 5 years, we've never said, hey, there's a bill. Man, it's a big bill. Can't pay that bill. There's equipment that broke. We can't afford that. Barry drove the trailer off a cliff. Come on, somebody. Haven't had that bill. There's somebody that's going through a crisis, a health issue, death in the family. There's something going on, and we can't help them. So, listen, because you guys give strategically, the church of God can give spontaneously. Amen? Because you've given regularly, we can say, okay, we're going to bless them right now. They need it in this season. And we can do that because of your guys' generosity. But let me tell you what we do. This is what we do. From day one, we've told people and believed in it and stood behind it. If anybody, if they're under this place, if they are in need of food and they're going to go hungry, or they need a place to put their head at night, and they don't have a place to stay, they're not going to make it through the week, then they can reach into our giving buckets. How many churches do that? And take out any cash they see to help themselves. Since day one, we've offered that through our church. Since day one, Di and I have modeled stewardship and generosity. That's just who we are. That's at the heart of God. And this last year, we gave over, check this out, this is incredible. This is all glory to God. I'm not boasting, okay? Because I would love to say this is way bigger. But we gave over 20% of our income to Jesus last year, amen? It's just on our hearts. And I would love to see that number go up, like in Jesus' name. Because I believe in what God can do through our giving. And with God's help and prayer and being wise with our money, we steward what God has given us so we can meet needs and reach the lost and see life change in our city. Because you guys gave last year, we got to tend and finish the Real Life Hope Center. Come on, somebody. To the tune of $110,000 worth of projects and labor and material and all these things and furnishings to go into this project. We got to do this because your guys' generosity, amen? That's a cash project. There's not a loan or like a backup plan. That's a, your guys give and that thing comes out of the dirt. We have to bring clean water all across the world in slums from Khashoggi to Kamgore in Kenya to Haiti for people who don't have clean water, people who die every day from diarrhea, who live on way less than $3 a day. People barely survive and dump raw sewage in the streets. You guys can bring clean water to people across the world. Because you're giving, we got to partner with our local school system, with the Ray Peck Foundation and the Belton Schools. We get to give to church planting. We're big on church planting. Give to New Thing Network here in Kansas City. We give to the Ark. We just believe in that God is going to reach new people through new churches. From the onset of COVID, since the beginning of COVID, we've offered, this is incredible, free 4 counseling sessions for anybody and everybody who need it at $85 a pop. Come on, somebody. We've said, if you need it, we've got, because we know marriages are stressed and families are broken, and we believe in what these guys are saying, what they're teaching people, and we get behind that. We pass that number like cotton candy. I honestly wish more people would call it. Amen? Because I swear it passes out millions of times, and very few people call. But I encourage you, get some help, you need help. We have a life-giving youth program, a life-giving kids program. We see people commit or recommit their life to Jesus every single week. And it's awesome. We saw 10% every single year of our church baptized per attendance, which is incredible. That's amazing. New people, life change, people coming to Christ. So the question this morning is simply this. Are you a part of we? Are you a part of we? Can you stand behind these numbers? I mean, I played a part of those stories. I'm a part of what God's doing. To whatever level God is calling you to do. Just think about this. This is all we're doing with your giving now. Amen. But what if we gave more? We have a vision for the future. Be able to fund maybe a permanent place for ourselves. Amen. I know the Pipe and Drape team would love that. Come on, somebody. Right? But that's on the horizon. And then not just a building, but a place to do mission. A place to see pastors developed, a place to see leaders developed, a place where we can take all this equipment and we can bless the next person and say, hey, you want to do church? Well, guess what? Here's $200,000 worth of cases and portable equipment. For the name of Jesus, we can have another campus or we can bless another church to launch and reach new people. Amen? That's what happens when you have a permanent facility. You don't need this stuff and you can mobilize and do more for the cause of Christ. We can do unimaginable things to the kingdom of God. We can up our programs and reach more youth kids for Christ. We can launch more of our counseling ministries and more of our care groups. And we can bless more people. We can see more disciples made, more disciples grown. All that comes from is the generosity of God's people. So I encourage you today, be the 1%, amen? Be the 1%. Be the one leper. Find a way to make it to Jesus, amen? I don't know what those 9 lepers had that was more important to getting back to Jesus. I don't know what it was, but it seemed to be a big distraction, and Jesus is pretty frustrated. But be the one guy that says, you know what, Jesus, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. I'm just returning to you what you've given to me. And what's funny is you lay at the feet of Jesus, and God can do the immeasurable. He can do what your wildest dreams can't even imagine when you give to God, and you see life change. And at the end of the year, you look back and you go, wow, what brought you the most joy? It wasn't all the presents under the tree. Come on, somebody. It was the people around the tree. It was the people impacted. It was the people that will call you up and say, hey, thank you so much for making this my year. Thank you for telling about Jesus. Thank you for making this my best year yet. Thank you for helping me in a season where I couldn't do it myself. That's the deepest joy you'll ever experience. I'll encourage you in this season, man, put Jesus first, amen? And we lay at the feet of Jesus. So it says in Ephesians 3, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, beyond your wildest dreams, according to his own power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, until kingdom comes. We're being a generous church. Amen. Father, come before you. We thank you so much for your generosity, God, that you gave to us first. God, I was going to pray a blessing over our church. God, you just give us a gift of disorientation. God, that we would look at our lives, look at our stuff and everything you bless us with, and we would ask the question, God, what can I return to you, God? How can I show my gratitude? God, help me to be not just spontaneous, but to be strategic. God, to be sacrificial if called upon. God, I'm ready and willing. God, I'm going to put you to the test because I trust you. And so, God, even if I don't have a lot, I may give the biggest amount. So, God, help me be the 1%. Help me move the mission forward on behalf of the rest of the world that maybe can't even do the means by which to do this. God, help me to lead the way for the cause of Christ. Help me sow some seed, and I walk around at the end of the year, and I look at my family and look all that I've impacted. I think I'm a truly blessed person, not because of what I kept, because of what I gave and what I returned this year. So God, use our church to make a blessing for the kingdom of God until kingdom comes and people know Jesus, or you come back out. We're gonna make the biggest footprint and make waves for the cause of Christ. I'm praying for one more group of people that say that, you know what? I hear what you're saying. That we're gonna lay it all down for Jesus. And I recognize what Jesus did for me. That he can heal me. I'm like that one leper that's calling out to Jesus, and I need his help, I need his grace. I've been walking my own season, I've been doing my own way, but today I recognize I need God's power and God can. The Bible says this, if you call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved, forgiven, made new. The Bible says Jesus loved us and he gave first. He gave his only son, Jesus, down the cross for our sins. The Bible says if you believe in him, you'll be forgiven and made new. So after you today, and you say, I need something this year. Because I'm willing to give it all to Jesus, but I need Jesus. And if that's you and you need Jesus, will you slip your hand up? I'll be looking around and say, I need Jesus today. Come on, I'll see your hand. Maybe I'll say, I need Jesus. Maybe online. Come on, I need God in my life. I see your hand. If you need Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you, but just your heart towards him, just like that leper. You say, Father, Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. Had my life my own way. Wasn't proud of it. I've been hiding in the shadows. My life's full of shame. But God, I need you. So thank you for loving me first. I'm calling you to save my sin. Forgive me. God, make me new. And God, whatever I have, whatever is in my possession is really yours, God. So I'm surrendering all today. God, have my life. I love you, and thank you for what you're doing. I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for God. Come on, so generous. Love you guys. Thanks for being here.
Awesome. And if you made that decision today to accept Jesus into your life, there's no better season than right now for that. We call Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And if you've accepted him as your Savior today, he's God with you. And he wants to come into your life. He wants to save you. He wants to be with you, to walk with you through all that you're going through. And we do as well. So we have a few resources we'd love to connect you with. You can take out your phone, text RL next to 97,000. It's going to connect you to our website. We have a whole section about following Jesus and how to connect to him and how to get onto the Bible app and to find some Bible reading plans that are going to help you in your journey with Jesus, because today is the first step in that journey. And if you're joining us here in person at KT, we have a table in the back with some red bags. There's a Bible in there and a way to get connected to those resources on the website. We would love to walk with you on this journey. Our team would love to encourage you, to get you connected. And so I do hope that you'll take one of those next steps today. And as Shaden mentioned, today is the day for our kingdom come giving. And we have been leading into this for several weeks. And I do hope sincerely that you've been praying to ask God, God, what would you have me to do? Because ultimately in our generosity, it's our job as believers to be faithful to what God calls us to do. And that's the measure that he has of how we're doing. And Sean mentioned, you know, he and I always prayerfully consider, what can we give? What do we give every month to Real Life? What can we give in these special times? What special needs arise? And I hope you've done that too, because today is a day that you can make a decision to say, you know what, this isn't about my kingdom anymore. This is about God's kingdom. This isn't about what I can get, but it's about what he can do. Because we've seen from, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus can take the small amount I have to offer and multiply it out in ways that don't make sense. He can take what we give and bless it. And we can see a whole community transformed, restored, changed, and ultimately find hope and faith in Jesus. And that's why we do what we do. And so Sean and I, our team, our leaders, we have a big vision for what God's calling us to next, both here at Real Life and through the Hope Center, to be the central place of hope in our city. And people think, man, I need some hope. I need some help. I'm going to head to Real Life. And you get to play a part in that. Every little bit that you are able to give to Real Life to further that mission is what allows us to take those next steps in faith, to say that we can be faithful to what God is calling us to, because we have this vision, but you all and your generosity sets the pace for that. And so I do hope that today you'll take part in that. And you can do that as the buckets go by. If you want to designate that specifically for this generosity, you can go online to our page. There's a drop down there. And maybe today you hadn't been here for the last couple weeks, you've been sick. If you aren't able to participate today, that link is going to be open for the rest of the month. So I'd encourage you, even if today you say, you know what, I'm not quite prepared, I don't quite know, please take part in being a part of what God is doing here, because we would love to see how God blesses you because of the generosity that you are able to give so that others can know Jesus. And so if you're new with us here today, thank you for being here. This gathering is our gift for you, and we hope that you'll stick with us through the Christmas season. We have a lot of fun things planned, and we would love to get you connected and plugged into real life, to just take a few weeks over the next few weeks and say, let me get connected to what God's doing here and just check it out and see. But if you call real life home, if this is your place that feeds you every week, there's three ways that you can get connected to generosity, maybe moving from spontaneous to strategic in this season and say, I want to be a part of that. Well, you can go to reallifechurchkc.com and click give there. You can text any amount to 84321. It's an easy way to get connected to the online generosity platform. And also, these buckets are going to pass in just a second. And like Sean mentioned, every week, if you or your family are in immediate need of food, clothing, or shelter, please reach in there, grab any loose cash that you see in there, because we want to be a blessing to you and your family in your time of need. We also have a giving box in the back if that's more convenient or strategic for you as well. And so I hope that you will be prayerfully considering how you can make a difference in our city in this season. So check out this video.
Real life, it's happening. Hey, check it out. This is the Real Life Hope Center. And I want to invite you guys out because of your generosity, and really not just spontaneous or strategic, but really sacrificial generosity, brought us to this moment in time. We get to launch this building and dedicate this building to God. And so I'll invite you out on the 12th of December. We have a very, very special evening between 6 to 8. It's come as you go, and just on your own time, and really just show off the building, cast some vision, and also dedicate this building for God, to do His anointing work, to see lives change, people transform, people come to Christ in this place. And so it's a great opportunity just to check it out, see what God's going to do in this place, and really see what your generosity has done. So I want to say thank you for all you're doing for this kingdom come giving. It also plays a part of this story, but we're excited to see what God's going to do. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's coming together, and cannot wait to see really how God's going to use this building in the years and years and years to come. And with celebrating, we got an awesome thing to celebrate in this season, the birth of Jesus. And so mark your calendars. We're going to be out there on Christmas Eve at Kentucky Trail, here in this place, 1223 at 6 p.m. And then on Christmas Eve, doing something very special, we're going to be earlier at 10 a.m. And there's this little Chiefs game that's going to happen afterwards. But we're excited to really celebrate this new season with this Hope Center and the birth of Jesus. So, hey, mark it down. Be a part of what God's going to do end of 2022. God bless, guys.
Yeah, you guys can give it up. Who's excited for this launch and who's ready to pray? Man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in this space through what you guys have done. So don't miss that on the 12th. Can't also wait to see what God's going to do in Kingdom Come Giving. Please be a part of that. Man, I love your guys' generosity. I love your guys' heart. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a member. We would love to pray with you. Can't wait to hang with you guys next week, either at 9:30 or 11. And as always, remember, whoever finds Jesus discovers real life and purpose. See you next week.